Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, I do not consider that I have made it my own, or that I have, in other words, some translations will say that Paul's writing and says, you know, I consider, but I haven't arrived yet. I haven't made it. He's still in the process of being transformed and shaped and molded by the hand of the Lord. Certainly he's had some history, and his encounter with Christ significantly transformed him, and then the ongoing, just like you and I, the ongoing transformation, the ongoing change. And he says, so, you know, I haven't attained it all. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching or straining forward to what's ahead. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, or in other words, his purpose for me. I press on towards that. I want to know what that is. I want to embrace it. And in the midst of this maybe season of the year where we maybe evaluate the last year, we evaluate how grateful we are, we evaluate all the things we've been through, the horrific stuff, the good stuff, and however you gauge it and put it on a scale, and with our anticipation of a calendar year being, you know, just about to flip, be changed, I want us to focus on something this morning. We know there's places in the Scripture where the Lord calls us to remember things. And then there's places in the Scripture where he calls us to forget things. I want us to look this morning at the forgetting part. That is all right. You know, when Paul writes this about forgetting what is behind, I wonder that as he penned this under the inspiration of the Spirit to this church and what we get the privilege of reading today and use for our own benefit and knowing Christ and acquainting ourselves with how to live out faith in real life. I wonder if his mind began to scroll over things of his past. I wonder if by chance, as he wrote, forget what's behind, I wonder if his mind went back to where he was approving of Stephen being stoned. In other words, before he knew Christ. I wonder if his mind went back to where it's recorded in the book of Acts, where he was going around and persecuting the church, believers in Christ. I wonder if his mind went back to certain events of what he was a part of that he now understands was very much against Christ. I wonder if you and I were to take the moment to make this very personal and write out, forgetting my past. And if we would have some flashbacks of things we've done, things we've said, the person we were, maybe the traits that we still carry with us. You know, it's an interesting thing, forgetting. My wife accuses herself of, in fact, she said it to me this morning. She said, you know, I got a terrible memory. Which really isn't true. I think she has a very good memory. But she feels like she will forget something. And, you know, I have forgotten a lot of things over my life. I'll be honest with you. My children over Christmas, they come home and, you know, we spend time together and they begin to reminisce a little bit about things that I used to do when they were young. I'm not going to mention some of those things. You would find it entertaining. They talked about, you know, movies we used to watch or kids' movies we used to kind of watch and some of the silly things that I would do, and they would mention them, and I would listen with a glad heart that they enjoyed some of these moments with their father and mother and as a family. But I'll be honest with you, I don't recall doing some of the things they say. I have forgotten. Now, the things they say sound like me. It sounds like something I would do, okay? So, you know, I believe them. There are things that, and those things would be things that would be worthy of remembering. And yet, there are things that I remember about my life that I wish I could forget. Paul writes this in a context of what he has achieved. If you were to look earlier in the chapter, and I think what I'll do is I'm going to read this to you. In Philippians, in earlier verses, verse 4, he says, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh," in other words, if I had to look back at my past and my track record, I have a lot of reasons, you know, to remember how great I am, you know, if I could paraphrase that. In other words, let me give you my resume. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, he says, I have more. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, I was under the law, blameless. Little side note, he's going to get to the point where he says he doesn't really, none of this matters. He counts it all rubbish. I want to remind you, if you don't have some rich heritage, I got good news for you. It's all rubbish anyhow. And if you had some great heritage and born to some people and blah, 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 it's all rubbish anyhow. He says that's not what matters. So wherever you come from, if you dwell on that, and it limits you to what God has for you, I want you to know that's the thing that you need to forget and not say that it has value. It is holding you back from what God has called you to become and what God has called you to do. He goes on and he says, indeed, I jumped ahead a little bit. Whatever gain I have, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For this sake, I have suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from my past or obeying the law, but a righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends upon faith. What does your righteousness depend upon? Is your righteousness dependent upon your past? Is your righteousness dependent upon all your failures? Is your righteousness dependent depending upon all of your past successes? Neither. Your righteousness is completely, totally, purely, 100%, based upon the faith in Jesus Christ. You need to look at the person next to you and say, that's good news for you. It is. This is the good news for us. That our righteousness is not dependent upon our past, successes or failures. Our righteousness is dependent upon the current faith in Jesus Christ. It is it's the only way we become righteous is through faith in Him. It says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him even unto death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This knowing Christ is more important than you reviewing your past. Listen, there are things we entangle ourselves in. There are things that we seem to get entangled in just because we live in this life. There are things that have been done to us. There's things we've done to others. I guess my question this morning is, when are we going to forget all of that and reach for what Christ has called us to be as a person? You know, it's interesting. We were doing a series on Wednesday night that we've concluded. It was called The Law of Happiness. It was based upon Scripture. It was based upon some research findings that actually were done that say, come to a certain result and principle that the Scripture has been telling humanity all along. So it's kind of a cool thing. And one of the things it said in the studies were that a person who learns to live in the now is generally happier than other people. If we continue to live in the past, we're never free to reach forward to what God has for us. You know what it's like. You've done something. And you've done something maybe recent. You've done something, I don't know, a day ago. And you feel guilty about it. And you carried it into this morning, into this room. And here we are to worship the Lord. Here we are to fellowship with one another. Here we are on the heels of Christmas, you know, and all of that, and you come into this place and you're living under guilt. How free are you to experience Him this morning, worship Him freely, move along with what the Spirit is doing in worship and praise and in prayer, and yet you're ridden with this guilt because of what you've done or said? You see, if we keep living in that, we're never free to reach today what God has for us in the now, and free to continue to move ahead for what He's called us to become as a person, as a church, because we're still living in 2 days ago. I'm not telling you that we should ignore what we did wrong. Scripture doesn't say that. We're to confess. We're to turn away from it. And then we're to pursue Him and know Him. And not live under the influence of what we have resolved through our faith in Christ on the cross. So that we are free to experience Him and know Him. And to embrace what He has for us. Paul says he hasn't attained everything. He says, and I want us to catch this phrase, because when he says, I haven't attained it, I haven't made it all the way yet. I'm not perfect, but this is one thing I do. So if you were to go to a conference and listen to a lecturer on some topic, A topic that interests you, a topic that you have passion about, and this person has great notoriety, and they're famous, and they're brilliant, and they've written some books, and you like their books, and you've listened to some CDs, and you've listened to some DVDs that they've taught, and you've watched that, and you're just this is great, and you're in that session, and they're speaking, and they give you a bunch of information and tell you a lot of things, and you're taking some notes. But there's a moment where the speaker says, but this is one thing that I do. All of a sudden, everything else that they said, you recognize, becomes very secondary. And they say, this is the one thing. At that moment, you are so clued in. You are like, they've had a lot to say, but this is the one thing. This is the one thing. The one thing. They've got all this credential, everything they've been saying, but this is the one thing. They just say, this is the one thing. Well, that's what Paul's doing. He says, this is the one thing I do. Of all the things that I do, this is like the priority. This is the one thing. And what is it? What's it say? Forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. Have you ever been around people who are, I don't know, and we'll use this in human terms, they were once great, and you keep hearing the same great story. That now, through time, the great stories 30 years ago. For those who hear it the first time, that's pretty wonderful. But those who hear it repeatedly for 30 years, it's kind of like, I respect you and all that. But inside we're going, do you have any like new stories? Do you have any new achievement? Some new accomplishment? But they continue to ride on past laurels. And if we would forget what's behind, they could continue to press ahead. We're thankful for the history. We're thankful for the accomplishment. We're thankful for the achievement. We're inspired by the story. But can we forget the past and tell me something now? Our past. You know, it's interesting that it's like our soul, though we're awake, it's like our soul goes to sleep, in the sense that our memory kicks in without any guard awake. Our memory kicks in. It's like this unconscious revisiting of our past in all its dark content. And there's no one there to arrest us. It's like we're in this slumber and our mind just goes back and it starts revisiting all this dark content. Bitterness we have towards someone, something they said or did to us, and all of a sudden the list gets long, and the pain that we feel, and the unforgiveness, and just it could turn to hatred, or it just begins to ride on us, and it's just there, and it's just continuing to... How are we ever free to live in the moment of what God has for us, or ever reach forward into something that He has for us or calls us to be, when we are just here, are unconscious? It's like it's in and of itself, it is a resistance to rebel against what Christ has done and the actual power to free us to be someone else than who we were. In and of itself, it's like a rebellion and a resistance against the Holy Spirit and what he has for us in the moment, and the recognizing and the playing out of the power of that Christ has for us to be changed and to reach for what he has for us. Your divine calling, your divine purpose, the revelation of his very divine power in your life, my life. That my past, if I continue to dwell on it and it runs freely and I just remember these things in its dark content, I'm never free. I can come to church, I can sing the songs, I can talk to him, we can hear prophecy, we can hear tongues and interpretation, we may even be used in the gift, we can take communion, and when we walk out the door, we are still allowing the dark content to run freely, unarrested, uncontested, and now we went through these spiritual exercises with sincerity, but continue to live under the influence of all the dark content and what it has done to us. As if the power of Christ on the cross, his blood and resurrection are a mute point, yet we profess to be his follower, unchanged. Oh, we might change some conduct. We might change a little bit of some attitudes, but deep down in who we are and our inmost being, we still function like the person who has been bred in the dark content and never been transformed as if we were born again in the light. Paul says, would you forget what's behind? Listen, you know how this works. Someone jars your memory about something they did with you at some point. They bring up a memory. You know, this is something that happens when, you know, you're a lot when you're apart from friends. And then you have like this reunion. And they begin to tell the stories of the things that you have done together. It's partly why my son thinks that his own father is a legend. Because he is around and he's watched this from time to time. And now that he's older, he's even more engaged to listen to friends of mine, close friends of mine, who we have a history together of the things we have done, the things that his father has done. And in his mind, you know, they're more grand than they are. Granted, I don't tell him any different. No. But in his mind, it's... And so when you get together with these friends, they tell the stories. And it's fun, and you laugh a little bit, and it's things you've forgotten. But once again, you know, I think I vaguely remember, and it kind of sounds like me. But what about the dark content that we revisit that holds us back? The dark content, even of someone else's life, that holds us back from trusting and loving other people like we should. That we've embraced this way we have survived through time and think this is the best and only way, and so it becomes a pattern that we never test, we never confront. We just continue in it while we continue to walk with Christ and in sincerity try to be his disciple, and we've never resolved within us to forget the dark content so that we are free to follow him now and into all the tomorrows that he is going to give each of us. It's dragging with what we call baggage, luggage, filled with dark content or all this achievement. Here, let me open it up and display all my trophies. Paul says he forgets what's behind, even the things that he had every reason to have confidence in who he was. He says they're rubbish. Those are the things that hold me back from excelling in what Christ has for me and in the divine calling that he has. He includes the dark content of his life. He says it's all rubbish and I have to forget it. This one thing I do, of all the great things that Paul did and all the inspiration and all the things, he says, this is one thing I do. I forget what's behind in order for me to discover and embrace and press towards what Christ has for me now and in my days to come and the person I am supposed to be. Understand that your greatest accomplishments in Christ are not the things that you do. It's the person that you become. You hear me? It's about the person you become. It's not about whether I pastor a church of 50,000 people or 5 people. It is about the person that I become and my obedience, my submission to Him, and godliness and contentment that brings the great gain. It's not about how many people you manage at work. It's about the person that you become. Our mind, we need to discipline it and teach it how to forget and not live under the dark content and its influence in our life. You ask any athlete who has made a great mistake on the court or the field or the course or whatever it is. And if they grind over their mistake, they just keep reliving it. When they go out to the next contest, the next game, the next competition, and they still have that past thing weighing on their brain, they will not perform well in the current. When I was a kid and played Little League, we came into that when, you know, I think we were, I think it was 8 years old. And then you can play till you're 12. In Little League, at least back in the old world, ancient times. Baseball was a big thing in my hometown, and Little League was huge. And, you know, I don't want to say every kid went to try out. I mean, you had to do tryouts, and then you would have teams that would... you know, you wouldn't always get assigned to a team. Coaches actually had like a draft process. And so at 8 years old, because I played a lot of baseball, and back then, I had a good arm. Could throw fast, could throw accurate most of the time. I could break any window in your house. Tryouts came. The highest score you could get was 15 in their scale of rating. Well, the 8-year-old kid pulled it off. So that a boy. Thank you. This is not about myself, but I want to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this for a reason. So here's the 8-year-old kid, and they're arguing in the draft who gets this 8-year-old kid. In fact, I didn't even know about it. I had to hear it from another party. It says, hey, yeah, your name was on the radio, and they're talking about blah. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. I just want to play baseball. So, as a couple years went by, the kid with the arm, he could probably be a pitcher. Not just play shortstop, but be a pitcher. Throw the ball fast. Throw it hard. So I was in a game, and I've already pitched a couple times. And Sam, there was a pitch that got away from me, and I hit the batter. I fired one. I hit the kid. You know, he got hurt. Soft-hearted little nice boy Randy felt bad. I never pitched well again. Not in Little League. Never pitched well again. I relived that pitch and hitting that kid and feeling so bad that this kid got hurt. Now, later in my life, I became mentally tough. And so that attitude changed. It turned into, well, just drag out another kid. You know, it changed. It hurt? Yeah, sorry, you know, go home. You know, in my mind, there was a transformation that happened. I'm not saying that we have to have that attitude either. We're not here to judge me. I'm just telling you this principle, that I never pitched well again. Had the talent, had the ability, never pitched well because it was all up here. I could not forget that pitch and hitting that kid. Couldn't forget it, couldn't shake it. It held me back. And I will tell you, the dark content of our life and even the great achievements of our life, if we don't learn to forget them and their influence on us, then we are taking away from the transforming power that God has given to us to be changed and to embrace and press on for what He has for you and for me. It will hold us back. Paul says, of all the great things, all the things I've shared, this is one thing that I do. Paul's lecture, under the inspiration, Paul is lecturing me and you this morning. And we've listened and read all the great things that he's done, some of the bad things he's done. And he says this. Everything's secondary. This, I forget. This is the one thing I do. I forget what is behind me so that I can reach, press on towards the high call of Christ in my life. You can look over this past year. And you can say, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's coming to a close. You can look over this past year and say, this is such a great year. I can't wait till next year. Oh, it's going to even get better. I appreciate the positive confession. I hope you're saying it out of faith, not out of the confidence in the flesh. But you can forget so that you can move on. Some of us are the fathers we are because we can't shake off the past. Some of us are the mothers we are because we can't shake off the past. Some of us are the husbands and wives we are because we can't shake off the past. Some of us are the Christians we are because we cannot forget the past. In the Old Testament, God wrote it this way through a messianic prophet, Isaiah. He said, "Remember not." We can put it in our translation, it means forget the former things, nor consider the things of old, but behold. In other words, wake up, look, I'm doing a new thing. It now springs forth. In other words, it's happening, it's growing, it's right there before you. And then he says, can you not perceive it? Do you know that our past will make us blind to the present and to the future? People who live in the past have a hard time being grateful and recognizing what they have right now. And some of the gift that you have right now is some of the people in your life. And you can't see it because your past has blinded you. Some of you can't see the beauty in the job and occupation that you have right now because of the dark content in your past that you still live under. You're so mad about the job you lost back however many years ago or whenever it was, that it robs you of the gratitude and appreciation of what God is doing now in the new job that you have, even if you're making less money. Or whatever the opportunity is that He has for you. He says, can't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, you can be what you call a circumstance or a place in life where it doesn't seem prosperous. It doesn't seem good to your soul. It's just, you know, it's why in the world do you have me here? And God says, do you not perceive? Can't you perceive it? What I'm doing now? Can't you see it? Because where you're at, in what you call this desert or wilderness or hard place, don't you know that I can cause rivers to come to where you're at? Do you not know that I can cause a flower to grow in the desert? Do you not know that I can lower mountains or raise barriers? Do you not know? Oh, yeah, but you can't do that for me, and I'm in this situation because look what I've done and who I'm at and where I'm from and things are bad. Please, you have the choice. I have the choice. I can revisit all the dark content and be ungrateful in the moment and never reach forward. And we can say, what's the use of having hope? God hasn't heard me. God hasn't. Oh, no. He's heard you. And He has seen you. And He has watched you and I show an outward resistance and rebellion against this new thing that we cannot perceive because we are busy being occupied with the past and the things that hold us back. It is not His fault. And it's not somebody else's fault. It's my fault. Because I can choose to forget. It's not easy forgetting. Oh, you're right. Let's just give up and stay where we're at. It's called get back on the mound and keep pitching.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.